Podcasting 2.0 for July 7th, 2023, episode 140, Shim Theory. Well, hello. Once again, it's Friday, a brand new month, and welcome to Podcasting 2.0, the official place to find out everything that is happening with the now and the future of podcasting. That's right. We've got everything at podcastindex.org, the namespace, all the rumors happening at podcastindex.org. We are the only boardroom that is AI-free. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Adam Curry in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and Alabama, the man you can find in both Latin and non-Latin search. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Total cluster today. Just like...
Cluster?
Yeah. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong today.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is the problems?
I usually do show prep before I go to work in the morning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On Fridays, because you know the day jobs on Fridays are hard.
So sure.
But this morning I wake up and immediately have a call from the office.
Oh, I hate those mornings.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good. What wasn't working?
Three hours later, I finally get it solved and I'm just like, okay, I've got to scramble.
Oh man, I hate that.
It's just been like that all day. It's just been that kind of stuff. I was trying to prep a clip for the show. I got one of them, but I had another one that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I had to resort to do a screen recording on it because I was on a different machine than usual. And God almighty, I could not get this thing converted to MP3. I finally just gave up. I mean, like, it was like 12:28 and I'm like, F this, I got to go to the show.
What are you using to do conversions? How hard can that be?
I was on a Mac and I'm like,
oh, stop. Oh, you know, enough said. Mac, please. I used to be such an Apple boy. I loved Macs. I defended them. Everything. I mean, I have the original Newton. I stood in line for it. I was a junkie until they screwed up my USB audio interfaces. That's when I got pretty mad. And then they screwed up Final Cut Pro. That's when I gave up.
It's a disaster. The Mac is a disaster. Everything that you wanted, especially when they went to Apple, you know, their own processors.
Yeah.
It's just so
infuriating. I lived through the Motorola to Intel switch. That was actually an interesting period. They had that really funky laptop, the black one, with kind of the rubbery feel to it. And, you know, and that was their whole thing. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to have all the operating systems will work. And, okay.
I hate Macs with a passion, and the only reason I have them at home, it was a conscious decision on my part. I was like, okay, I'm gonna work my day job work is 100% Windows on the user side. Mm-hmm. It's on server side, it's a mix of lots of stuff, Linux, Windows, you know, but on the user side, it's totally Windows. But these kids coming out of college, they all go through college with Macs.
Yeah. A lot of them do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when they get into, the workforce, they switch to Windows, but they still have Macs at home. So we started getting like all these people that were connecting when they VPN to work, they were doing it from a Mac.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we need to be able to troubleshoot Macs. So I just used I made the decision. I'm like, I'm going to force myself to use a Mac at home so I can have the knowledge to help these people. And I'm about done with that. I'm so tired of this.
That's interesting. You know, my daughter's here visiting with her boyfriend / fiance.
Kevin. Yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I'm getting to see her.
Yeah. Well, it took them 3 days to get here with canceled flights, missed connections. It was quite a nightmare. Especially because it was all happening during No Agenda. Yeah. Like, I'm getting
great.
He's literally calling me from the customs. He's like, they're going to send me to the little room unless I can prove, you know, that I have a return to. The little room is not good when you're coming into the country, people. I've been there. The little room is not fun. But he's a producer and he uses Windows. He's like, I gave up on Mac a long time ago. He said all the pro producers, that's not correct, but a lot of the big ones, they've all moved to Windows for Ableton Live and stuff like that. And they're just done with Mac. They don't like the expense. They don't like the problems. It's quite interesting how Apple is able. Of course they have the mobile market, I guess. Hello? Dave? Yeah, I don't hear you.
Am I gone?
Oh, there you are.
That was weird.
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know.
You're streaming video again, aren't you?
Yeah, but that's been going for a while. I didn't do anything to
Whenever something's wrong, I always blame OBS.
No, there was no OBS this time. I did get, I have HTOP running so I can make sure that I'm not frozen.
Mm.
If as long as the bar graphs are changing, I know I'm not in a boot situation.
Sad state of affairs when you have to have HTOP running to know that you're on the air. Something inherently wrong about that.
You're like Dave. I'm looking at HTOP. I'm like, am I boot?
Let's start off today with a bang. I was reliably informed that today is the second anniversary of the Boostergram, which started 2 years ago on this date. And I believe the first official Boostergram was sent from CurioCaster, if I'm not mistaken.
What was the first official Boostergram?
Oh, you know, we should know what it actually is. I don't know what the text was of the first Boostergram. Oh, I should know that, I guess. Maybe,
We should immortalize this.
Yeah, we need to know that. Yeah, maybe Stephen B. can maybe post it in the chat room while we play our celebratory Boostergram jingle.
I want to boost the very best.
Remember this one?
No one ever was. The boost is my real test.
Is that Dame DeLorean?
It sure is.
Boostergram!
I will boost them across the land.
Sing far
and wide. That's so funny.
It's Boostergram to understand the power that's inside.
Boostergram! Woo! There it is, the Boostergram. let me see. It was Sir Chad Farrow who said today was the... what was it? I'm hoping someone can find out. Stephen B. has a link. Known. Stephen B. has a link. Here it is. What was the first?
Don't click it.
Oh, no. Here it is. Value MSAT, 1,000 MSAT. So cheap boost. Message sent from CurioCaster, tip jar, colon. Really? I've changed. Oh, how come I can't see that? Oh, I've changed my mind so much I can't even trust it. My mind changed me so much I can't even trust myself. Wow, that's a very much like a Mary Had a Little Lamb kind of thing.
Oh, yes. CurioCaster, I changed my mind so much.
I love that it actually says, message sent from CurioCaster's tip jar. Wow, I squashed that pretty quick, didn't I?
Yeah, you can tell that's old. This is fantastic. This is like, we need to make an NFT out of this.
An ordinal, sure. I'm going to put this into the show notes so we can immortalize that.
How did you find that so fast, Stephen? Oh my gosh. I mean, this is from 2021.
Isn't that cool? First Boostergram. Is it actually from the date? Is it from the actual date today?
July 7th, 2021.
Wow,
yeah.
How cool is that? Well, so today, just view how we've moved ahead in 2 short years. Scissors are sharp, no rounded edges today. Stephen B. changed everything.
Cool.
Yeah, he changed everything. He took out the most of the production elements of the value time split from Sovereign Feeds, which he felt was getting, you know, kind of messy. And so he moved all of that to a tight integration with the split kit. So now you operate your live, well, basically all your splits, certainly the live stuff, all from the split kit. So there are two things with this, which was kind of interesting. The first one was this work that he had done rendered Sovereign Feeds inoperable Wednesday night.
Cool.
When I was trying to post Curry and the Keeper,
I always get the signal from you. Hey, do you know Stephen B's number?
one has his number, and I always forget to ask for his number. You know, it's like
which is genius on his part, by the way. Yeah, great call.
I can't say it's a bad thing. You know, I'm posting on Twitter. I'm posting DMs everywhere. I'm sending him email. Like, this thing's broken. I mean, it's really when the interface just is completely non-responsive, you know, you click and nothing happens. It's, you know, then you don't know if it's you, if it's your browser, if it's DNS, you know, you go, if it's OBS, you go through all these things. Like, no, that's definitely. And then I remembered that he had made this change. I'm like, okay, so that's probably where it came from. So then today I kind of had to learn SplitKit, and he has a tutorial. This thing does a lot. I mean, it really, you can build blocks, you can search songs, you can do it. You can do the, you know, the songs can be in a playlist. There's so much that I was a little overwhelmed, just getting it all set up, but I think it's working. We'll know because one of our guests has chosen the song for today. But also, I am very excited because it looks like we have some massive movement in the remote item value time split arena, where you and I have both seen a demo from a Fountain of how Fountain, and I don't want to give it away because, you know, obviously Oscar wants to surprise everybody with the ideas that he has. Right. But wow, it's, I really love what he's doing. Hold on a second. Is someone vacuuming?
not you.
No, I think it's on my end.
Phoebe's vacuuming.
No, she's not. She's sleeping. Very interesting way of implementing, wow. What am I hearing now?
I hear feedback.
Yeah, no. Someone is literally vacuuming. Like, you know, I do so many podcasts, they just don't give a crap anymore.
It's like, they're whatever. Like, they're like, we can't stop our life for every podcast you do, Curry. we'd never live.
No, this is true. Anyway, a very interesting way of surfacing remote items as they pertain to value time splits. Really very focused. Well, not just focused on music, but it'll be really interesting. I think a cool implementation for music. And along with that, you know, Oscar's been talking to the Wavelake guys. And so now they've gotten a fire under their butt all of a sudden. Have you seen any action from them? Are they putting stuff into the index, or what have you seen from them?
I saw a blog post from them.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
So how do you interpret the blog post?
I interpret it as they are getting geared up. Like they're getting ginned up and ready to, you know, I mean, that they feel like things have come along or are about to come along to a point where they want to go full bore. Like,
yeah, that's a feeling I got too.
I know that's not very clear.
No, I think it's that they are possibly considering doing configurable splits. Maybe not.
They did say that. They said that in the blog post. That's on their roadmap.
Right.
In
addition to that, I think they're going to use people tags. Persons tag. So I'm getting ready now because, you know, I said one. I think so. We have Podfriend, CurioCaster, Podfriend, Podverse. Podverse does value time split now, I think, right? Is that still in beta or is that in full blown mode?
Podverse, I don't know if he released it yet.
Okay. We'll have Fountain. All of this coming this month, I think, by the end of the month. So I'm getting my music show ready, and I'm very excited about this. I go back and forth. You know, I would initially said, I'll do the Wavelake Top 40, but I'd like to keep it a little more open.
I agree because we
have all kinds of people who will be hosting music and self-hosted through Ellen Beats, etc. And so I have a couple things to discuss with you moving forward that I want to run. Actually, I wanted to talk to you about this earlier in the week, but we were both busy. Man, they really don't give a crap. Are they using mixers, vacuum cleaners?
Are you at a hotel?
Someone is using a drill for some reason. I'm not sure what they're doing out there.
Dental work.
So a couple things. It kind of came to me while I was talking to Oscar, but also I saw what Conchax is doing. I mean, I love what Conchax is doing. You know, Conchax started as, you know, basically a stats package that integrated with the GetAlbi wallet. But now they're really becoming, they're marketing themselves as a place to monetize your podcast, to grow your podcast. They're tweeting out stuff like short and practical advice to increase the support you get from listeners. You can onboard, so they have access to the partner API, and they can onboard podcasts into Value for Value. And I really like what they're doing. I mean, just they're kind of, in an odd way, they are filling a void that most hosting companies can't keep up with the demand. Just adding features is a big deal when you have a hosting company. A lot can go wrong. You can screw up a lot of feeds. I understand you have to be kind of careful with stuff like that. Some, like Libsyn, literally can't afford it. I mean, I heard in the interview today with the interim CEO, he doesn't expect to do any, real 2.0 namespace tags until 2024 because of market conditions. So, i.e., they don't have the money, which is sad. I thought it was sad to hear that.
Yikes.
But they're considering AI. Thank God.
Market conditions don't affect that, evidently.
No, evidently not. So this is what I've always thought would be cool. I see IPFS podcasting now. If you put a 1% split in your value block, they'll pin you, they'll scan you. I mean, people are starting to use this kind of, I've always called it the podcast creator API. You don't really need to do anything, but just have to know how to put a split into your value block.
It's the plug-in model, the podcaster plug-in model.
Yeah, podcaster plug-in.
There is no API.
Exactly.
You just plug somebody into your value block and things start working.
Exactly. I love it. Now, here's what I wanted to talk to you about. So the biggest opportunity for music is, we've talked about this before, is SoundCloud. And SoundCloud does not enable their RSS feeds by default, but they have RSS feeds with enclosures. If you do a search on the podcast index, and you just do for SoundCloud, you'll see a lot of results. I don't know how many, but there's a lot of results for SoundCloud.
A lot.
So in this whole onboarding mechanism, here was my thought. If someone onboards a podcast, so the podcast presumably the artist has an RSS feed, and whether that's through Wavelake or, but let's, for argument's sake, let's just say SoundCloud, because that's truly what I'm targeting here. So you can say to an artist, hey, click this thing in your SoundCloud dashboard that turns on your RSS feed. Add it to the index. Everybody can pretty much do that. It's clear because people have already done it. Then go to an onboarding partner. In this case, I'll use Fountain as an example. Fountain will onboard them. Will onboard them with the wallet the way they do podcasts currently. And then give someone the option to flip a switch to say, this is music. And that would then feed back into the index to set the medium equals music tag. I know it's a shim, but I think it would blow everything out of the water.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm is so much, I have to back up so it doesn't splatter me in the face.
I don't like the shim part. I mean, I know what you're saying, because we went down this route with transcripts too.
Right, I see the difference here.
I see what you mean. I mean, I see what you mean, because you're
we're not asking for any remote information. We're not hosting anything. All we're doing is setting a bit in our database.
Right.
And that would be, I guess, the only way to do it, unless, people start bugging their hosting companies like SoundCloud to make that a feature.
See, that's what it should be. I mean, obviously, I mean, let's just go ahead and say that. I mean, that they should have an option there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To make this music in the feed itself. And we need a shim theory.
Title.
You know what I mean?
We
need a shim theory that under these circumstances, it's under conditions X, Y, and Z. That's when you shim.
Yes.
If X, Y, or Z do not obtain, don't shim.
Okay. Like, so the reason why I thought this was, and we have not come up with the shim theory yet. The reason why I thought this was acceptable is because this is an onboarding specifically to enable value for value. And value for value music doesn't work unless the medium equals music tag is set. So there would not be a different way to do it. We wouldn't just give everybody the opportunity to set that only if you go through an onboarding process. You know, I guess in theory, podcaster wallet, but I don't think anybody will do that because of the podcaster moniker. But the onboarding part, it's the same for hosting companies. They're not going to do this for a long time because they're not set up to host music. Because it's not just flipping a bit for them. It's setting a whole new path, writing new language, and to have contracts or, Blueberry, I think would probably do it. You know, Blueberry would probably, with the WordPress plugin, would probably create the secondary path. I would imagine. Seems like that's a logical partner to do this because you can self-host it. You don't necessarily need, big hosting, so you can get a very inexpensive hosting plan. Mm-hmm. It's really the setting of the bit for someone who's serious about monetizing their music. That was my hope. I understand your apprehension. You were in fact speechless for a moment. That doesn't happen often.
Stephen B says it ends up hurting Wavelake, who's already hosting music in Wallace. That's true too.
Hold on a second. Yeah, okay. Did the shim not hurt other people who set up value blocks?
Well, the shim existed before anybody did value. I mean, like it literally was the bootstrap. And so that continued because it was for a long time because it was almost impossible. Honestly, we could probably get rid at this point. We almost could get rid of Podcaster Wallet.
Yeah, no, I'm in total agreement. But before we go talking about that,
before we go ape nuts here, let's,
I mean, the difference here is we really don't have a big pool. I'm going to be able to do five episodes of my show and I'm out of Wavelake songs.
I got you. Yeah.
And if I can do it, because if I do a call out and say, everybody, if you want this to happen, go to Wavelakes, I think that's just as dangerous as saying all your wallets should be Albi. Because this is all going to bite us in the ass. Believe me. Albi will go down. There will be an incredible crisis. You know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to manifest it, but this will happen. So we need this diversity. And I'm not sure where the Dystopia guys are. I don't see anything from them, honestly, that's coming into the index yet.
There's some stuff. Yeah. There's some stuff.
It's so interesting because I think that we're at the point where if you think about let's go back to my original premise. If you think about the podcaster plugin, apps now have the ability to offer so many more features through, basically plugging in lightning splits that they will far surpass what hosting companies can ever do. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So if anything, this is going to hurt all hosting companies long-term because they're just slow. And, I see Buzzsprout, who of course we love Buzzsprout, one of the first to implement almost everything that was important to us. But they focus on very different things and they're focusing on their subscriptions and advertising and that you don't really hear them. From time to time, they talk about value for value. but they're never really going to be focused on it. And right. I think if we, and maybe this is where shim theory comes in, you know, because no one's really set up for documentaries or film or any of the other medium tags. And they're just going to be lingering there because, you know, we've seen that, you know, so since we implemented the medium tag for music, we really only have one outfit that's doing it.
I'm not opposed to shim. I want to make sure that you can shim at different places. And I want to make sure that the shim happens at the proper, at what we would all consider to be the proper place.
Agreed. Which is why I said it would be like podcast or wallet or through the, because that's where the original shim was put.
Right. Yeah. And so there's a few different ways you could do this. Like initially it's going to be very much a trickle. I think we can agree with that, right? I mean, we're going to get, music is not flooding into the podcasting space.
This is why I'm suggesting it, because I believe that if I can say you can self-host through Music Side Project, you can use Wavelake, and I don't know where Wavelake is with their splits. You know, I saw the blog post. Right. I'm not sure what Dystopia is doing. But if I can say, oh, you already have your music on SoundCloud, click this bit, go into this app, whichever one it is. I'm going to use Fountain as an example because, you know, they will be ready to do this. And there you can set up your splits, your wallet, and make sure your music is discoverable as playable music in the index. I think that actually will create a lot of music coming into the index.
Couldn't they just, like, okay, you take the amount, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
So you have that amount of work, whatever, you know, X amount of work this is that you just described. Mm-hmm. Is that actually probably is not that much more work, or the workload is not probably much different than if you just grabbed your music and re-uploaded it to Wavelake.
No, well... Yes, that's correct. And I can certainly do that. Is Wavelake prepared for that? Do we want to put it all onto one host? Do we want, will they have, I'm not a big fan of their.
Or Dystopia.
I mean, I've seen nothing from Dystopia.
Yeah, there's stuff in there. I'm looking at a feed right now. I mean, and it's got the medium tag in it. There is stuff. I mean, I don't think they've been, they haven't been as vocal about it as Wavelake, but I mean, I'm just thinking if you start doing a music show, and then it's like, okay, well, if you want your music here, you're going to have to grab your 25 tracks that you uploaded to SoundCloud and upload them to Wavelake.
Absolutely. I don't think it's the same amount of work, but I absolutely agree that that is a perfectly good path for people to go down. I was just trying to make it a little faster and bigger with more, because people, I truly believe it's easier for people to say, oh, I have to do this, this, and this. I already have everything up. You know, it's a new feature, which I think would ultimately, I mean, the alternative is I just go and bitch and moan about SoundCloud every single day. I mean, that's fine. I just want more music. I will need more music. And so I understand if the shim is not, if it's not desirable. I understand that. And I am not going to fight to the death for it. But I just thought it was, because I'm so high on the whole idea of the podcaster plugin, you know, of stuff being enabled by me, you know, adding a split or, you know, doing something in an app and not necessarily my hosting company, you know, because just as I can't rely on any other hosting company except, you know, the one or two that are just starting. And I'm not a fan of the Wavelake non-split system right now. And I think they have work to do.
They do, for sure. Yeah.
whereas that system is already set up. And maybe they can implement the API, the partner API, and get it going quick. I mean, that would be fantastic.
The point I was starting to make a while ago about how this would be a trickle initially is I don't mind, instead of creating a shim mechanism in the partner API,
mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if it's enough to just say, you know, okay, you onboard yourself through, you know, Fountain or whatever, and then just let us know, and we'll flip the bit for you. And I just put it in, and it's manual initially, and just to get the thing off the ground.
Why would no? That seems like a worse idea to me.
Okay.
I mean, why would we be flipping the bit for people?
I'm concerned about here. I guess my bigger concern about the shimming is that once you create this, it's very fuzzy when you turn it. Dave Weiner has good advice here. You know, he always said, he always said you never take a feature away.
Right.
You always add, but you got to be careful what you add. Cause you don't, not that you can't take it away, but you should never, you know, quote unquote, should never take it away because people become dependent upon it. And if we put that feature in, I don't ever want to be in the position where we have to announce that we're going to take something away and all that. Cause that just, I don't know. It just, This is the same. I don't know.
Well, we don't need an answer per se right now.
I would rather really push, like, these if you've uploaded your stuff to SoundCloud and it's music, like it's actually music.
Yeah, which I think is 99%.
And you give a crap about it,
mm-hmm.
like meaning that you care. You didn't just upload a couple of tracks 5 years ago and don't think about it anymore. Like if you're an active participant in getting your music out there for people to hear, and you've managed to upload it to SoundCloud, you're probably technically sufficient enough to also throw that thing up on Wavelake. You gotta be. I mean, like you gotta be.
Yeah. Right? No disagreement, but I just don't like the idea of relying on one company.
I don't either. We need at least two. Like I should talk to the Dystopia guy. We need to have him on the podcast anyway. I've been needing to do that forever. Like, you know, I can reach out to
Devin. Yeah, no, sure. We're
Devin.
I'm being very clear about it. I would like to get everyone on SoundCloud to be able to be available for playing in podcasts. That's truly what, so there's people who are already in the index and they can't be played on podcasts because they don't have the music bit set. I can find them and I can find some, but mm-hmm. it's not the same thing. They're not, you know, they don't show up in the split kit. You know, all these things don't work without the medium equals music set. Yeah. That's really the, you know, and there's ways around it. Right now the music business is in a dead zone. People are disillusioned by Spotify. You know, what's happening is they're going to Noster, honestly. If anything, I feel like we're fighting Noster because and you know, people, oh, Noster is a great place to go. And then, you know, they get some kind of, you know, they get a zap or whatever, and they're going to, they're just going to miss all the beauty and all the marketing of what we're doing. And of course I've had lots of people on board through Wavelake already, you know, in anticipation. And I've got people out there who are telling people to go to Wavelake.
Right.
I just want to create a revolution by making it something that people already have and upgrading it for them and not doing it. To me, it feels like the more we don't do with the hosting companies, the better, because they're just slow. Mm-hmm. They just don't get stuff done. And I don't want to do it as Podcast Index, But, you know, there are even people who are doing apps who are saying, hey, why wouldn't I just become a hosting company? Which I definitely advise against. And, you know, Wavelake will go through the, I mean, already there's songs on there. See, SoundCloud has a lot already figured out, mainly the legality. And my biggest fear, didn't really want to, this almost sounds like manifesting when we just talk about it. My biggest fear is you get songs that are covers, etc., and they're going to get into trouble. It's going to be.
Wavelake's going to get in trouble.
Of course, you can't do cover songs. You can't just publish cover songs without proper without proper licensing and going through the proper institutions. And that's something that SoundCloud has figured out a long time ago. So Wavelake will go through the growing pains, and as will anyone who does this from the get go.
Well, you know, one thing that when Alex and I did the long, you know, multiple month AI or machine learning detection of music in the index, what we saw was that, yes, there's tons of music on SoundCloud, but so much of it is like remixed, like house, you know, trance music type, where it's just it'll be like one track. And I'm not denigrating and saying this is not valid. I mean, it's fine, but there's just so much of the same type of thing. That's like one track that's 30 minutes of just and I don't know that it's not that that's not valid. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is like, I don't think you could make a show out of that.
You need to get out more. This is
not your kind of show.
I agree, but not my kind of show. But this is, I'm listening to what Kevin's doing here. That's his music. And so I can't, you know, that almost goes back to what is a podcast? You know, should we just cut off Acast because they're shit? we don't consider it a show.
I'm really trying to not make that type of argument. I guess I'm thinking about, that's just not the type of show. I don't think that's the type of show you want to make.
I don't, but I know that there's going to be other people who will. There's going to be people who are doing entire 5-hour dance party podcasts. Why not? You know, and they're just mixing all of those different tracks together. I'll tell you what, why don't we bring in some other board members and get their opinion on this? These people are very smart.
I agree.
I think it's time to bring in our board members. They are very major podcasting 2.0 contributors. We'd like to say hello to the two men currently working with Dave on the PeerTube plugin, No Agenda Tube. We welcome into the podcasting 2.0 boardroom Alex Gates and Don Kimberlin, known as Erhead. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Hey. All right. Weigh in. You've been listening. Alex, you always have something. You always have something to say.
Just to weigh in on the last point, I have a buddy, actually the official Detox Music guy. He wants to do a dance party show using Value for Value. So he's actually big into SoundCloud too. So I mean, maybe I can get him to talk to them and modify their RSS feed so you don't need the shame in the first place.
What, he has pull with the...
I wouldn't say he has pull, but he's a customer.
He pays $20 a month. I mean, that would obviously be the way to go, but we've talked about it. You know, we've sent out messages. I mean, I don't know if they're... I mean, to me, it's like, I don't even know how they're surviving SoundCloud. I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing. I don't know anybody there. I do remember them putting RSS feeds in and calling themselves a podcast company when it was really hip to do so.
And you know, there's also, we forget about Bandcamp as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously this would work for a whole bunch of already existing music services. So I'm not just talking about SoundCloud, but the capability for someone who is a musician to say, I want to do this. I've already put it into they have to have an RSS feed with enclosures. They have to put it into the index. But then once you're serious about value for value, that's when you have the opportunity to flip the bit. That was my idea. I don't know. Alex, do you have thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the execution, there's no issue there. It's
no, but I think philosophically, as well, clearly what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think attribution, like, even if you're not into the whole DJ mix set thing, the just attribution to songs is a big issue, and that's why, like, if you do a DJ set on Spotify, you can't just publish the whole thing. You have to divide it into a whole album playlist and give credit to all the different artists that are part of that mix. So
I'm talking more about the concept of a shim for the medium tag. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, I don't know how valuable it would be without the value for value integration. And it's not like we can do that automatically. It would be good to have the information to reach out to artists, but that's...
I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
Well, I mean, it would be good to just understand, just to have the data there, even if it's not all value for value. But it would limit what you can do with it without the value for value automatically.
Well, no. So, okay, my proposal is, if you want, you can put your stuff in the index, and preferably that would be, if it's music, you want to find a way to make that music. But if you want to put your existing music that's on an RSS feed into the index and value for value, that then the partner API would have the capability for setting the medium tag in the index so that it can be used with value time split. So it's a philosophical idea of us creating a shim for people who want value for value enabled music and don't have that available at their host.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, that's why we asked you the hard questions, brother.
Yeah. I mean, if they have to opt into it, yeah, I don't see the issue. I mean, it would be just one step below moving to Wavelink. And yeah, some of that might be on both Wavelink and SoundCloud as it is.
Well, so Nathan G said in the chat, he's like, and this goes back to something that you envisioned. The whole reason, really, you made the remote item tag initially, Alex, was he said, Nathan said, what about a service that generates a new RSS feed filled with remote item tags pointing to SoundCloud feeds, medium equals music and its own V for V split?
Well, there's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, you could make a synthetic feed that does what we want it to do,
which I'm not a big fan of in general, but it can do it. But, you know, then you get into the what was the damn service called?
Feed burner.
Yeah.
Well, and one issue with that is, yes, you can do playlists that way, but I would not recommend doing play like a remote item that points to another playlist, because it's not, you're not supposed to have a remote item with a GUID, if you know what I mean, because that would just be a whole mess. So, I mean, you could pull it off, but I would not recommend it.
It could also be in Podcaster Wallet, I guess. I mean, they could go claim their feed and then set the bit themselves there.
Well, isn't that the same as doing it through the partner API?
Yeah, it is. It is. I keep going back to this idea of, I don't want to make people dependent on things, you know? Like, I did it for the value for value because it's literally like nobody's ever going to do it. But we're so, I guess my trepidation is we're so close to the medium tag, and it's such a simple tag that I feel like with a little bit of, like, you know, marketing or you know, selectively applied pressure that we might be able to flip, you know, get somebody to just do this thing. Like, it is such a simple thing to do. It's not an overwhelming hurdle to jump over like it was with the value for value tag, where you had to learn Lightning and implement nodes and all this kind of stuff.
That's true. I mean, I'm with you on that. I'm with you. I think a whole bunch of things came in succession for me, where I heard this really disappointing interview with the interim CEO of Libsyn saying, you know, well, market conditions don't allow us to add any more namespace tags until 2024. I'm like, holy crap, how bad is it?
That doesn't make that's just weird.
No, maybe it was bull crap. I don't know.
market conditions.
And also, you know, we just, you know, we have these apps coming online. Well, we have another problem, or another challenge, I should say. is right now pretty much the only feed generator that does this stuff is Sovereign Feeds. You know, right. So there's a whole nother issue. You know, and it's not true. The split kit takes care of a lot of it. I don't know. We're almost in a chicken and the egg situation, but we do have some eggs. I just don't want to break them.
Well, Alex, is anybody publishing music on No Agenda Tube?
There might be but the problem is there's no medium equals music without extending that in some manner. And I don't feel like supporting it.
What'd you say, Don?
Oh, the Lightning plugin does provide an RSS feed that allows you to set the music tag. I've got a couple bands set up self-hosted already on PeerTube, and you can listen to them on LN Beats. They show up properly. Still need to do some refinement on the MP3 information and encoding optimally for audio only, but we're most of the way there.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we table this and, Fountain is definitely going to target artists to onboard them, and for now they'll point towards whatever is there. So that would be Wavelake, Disktopia, self-hosting music side project, which Stephen B has open source, which is great. But I really would recommend against anybody who is not prepared to deal with all the logistics and legalistics of hosting music to start a business with that, because that could be overbearing. I wouldn't do it. And then have PeerTube. Maybe what you say is marketing, which we're really good at.
We're great
at marketing. We just let the market ride and see how Wavelake does. I'm just impatient, honestly. I just see this whole universe of people who want to do it, and we just have to go find them.
But when Fountain, the thing is, Fountain is where the Bitcoin people live. That's where they're going to live first. So when Fountain comes out on that side of things, when Fountain comes out of the gate with support for this, then people will understand what's required, and that really may move the needle some. If it doesn't move the needle very much, then we can always do the shim and just say, and just let everybody know from the beginning, hey, this is very temporary. Please understand this is going to go away as soon as we have, more than one player here.
Right.
I mean, like we could just be very upfront and say, please don't depend on this being around for the next 10 years.
Or anything for that matter. Right. I might not be around for 10 more years. I'll be almost 70. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you what. We have a lot to talk about with Alex and Don about the PeerTube plugin, about the stuff you guys are doing with streaming. And I actually have a couple questions myself as it pertains. And I'm delighted to hear that the plugin will do. Man, Don, you are making a lot of noise, brother.
Sorry.
public shaming.
I'm just like, who is that? I'm looking at the meters like, it's Don. should we play the requested song first, just so we can get the scissors out of the way? Let me see if the split kit works. Let's play a song so people can even understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Alex, you want to tell us about your choice? I chose Ride in Progress, although now I'm kind of sad because you actually mentioned the other guy there with the techno song.
Oh, that's okay. The reason I heard this and it reminded me of the first or second time I was on this show when you were playing Rage Against the Machine in the pre-show, and it just gave me the kind of vibe. So
nice.
That's why I picked it.
Well, for those of you who are listening, if you are not listening in PodFriend or CurioCaster and perhaps Podverse, please switch for this and boost these guys after the fact, or go back and listen to the show again, because it really makes a difference when musicians see Satoshi showing up and they start to get value. It really sparks something and gets them really excited. So here we go. Hopefully everything switches automatically. I now have activated the Riot in Progress value block by request. This is Heads Up on Podcasting 2.0.
You're no one seeing them. You're no one who's open. Your thoughts do the same. Do as they always do. Wanna run away. Wanna run when they rape. Your faith is a game. Take you with attitude.
Do it again, mom. Do it again. Do it again, mom. Do it again. Do it again, mom. Do it again. Do it again, mom. Don't try to tell me.
Live in that state of mind. You're open to the lies. Need to leave your hands on. You're inching your mouth. So it's
in Progress, Heads Up here on Podcasting 2.0. That worked quite well. And SplitKit automatically defaults back to the podcaster block after the song is over. Nice.
Oh, yeah, because it ended immediately. Like the artwork went back. Yeah.
That is sexy, man. I like that. And when I was looking at the helipad and Stephen B was boosting from the SplitKit, even though I didn't publish anything. So I guess he knows how to get that, and it comes in as Heads Up. So So it shows me the title. Nice. Yeah, that's okay. Very cool. And I saw you boosted, Dave.
I did.
Nice. Yep. Very nice. So
the Eric PP has been making pull requests on Helipad. He's changing some stuff. So
oh, excellent.
And I'm really appreciative of that. That he's going in there. He's making the making things better.
By the way, I'm taking suggestions for the name of the music show.
Oh,
if anyone has any, boost that to me. And I'm going to get started pretty soon. I mean, I'm probably going to start before Fountain comes out so I can kind of get my feet wet and get it going. And I'm not quite sure. I mean, I have an idea of what I want to do, but I want to do a variety of music and not just the Wave Lake top 10, but you know, there's other stuff. And I'd love to be able to get, you know, music from all different hosts. So everyone gets a little piece of the action, a little piece of the fun. So it'll be like podcasting 2.0 for value music.
Are you going to do this? Like, what kind of schedule are you going to be on? Are you just going to do it whenever you get enough stuff in the hopper?
I'd like to do it weekly. But my rule is always you got to do it weekly. You got to do it more or less the same day, more or less the same time. That's what I'm hoping for because I need more podcasts in my life.
Daily Source Code was not regular for a long time, and still had tons of listeners.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I considered just resurrecting Daily Source Code, but that feels wrong for some reason. Just this is new. Yeah. You know, okay. This is a new thing, and it definitely won't be daily. That'll just confuse people. It always did.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited. I'm very excited about this stuff, and it's going to unleash a whole new category of podcasting. Podcast hosts will want to be a part of this. And I would say, you know, look at Sovereign Feeds for an example, or SplitKit really, or really just integrate with SplitKit. I mean, that thing it's pretty mature. I mean, it takes a minute to figure it out, but it's got groovy icons and, you know, it's got a real UI that, you know, it makes sense. And it integrates with the index for the music that's available. I mean, for someone who just wants to do a music podcast or other things, it's in there. So maybe they would only have to really integrate with SplitKit and just take those parameters for your remote item, I guess. Is that the way it works?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've, in order to make this more palatable for apps though, we need some sort of, solution for this socket issue.
For the live stuff.
Right. Yeah. 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 But I mean, I feel like live is a big component of this.
Oh, totally.
You're going to have a lot of people want to listen live.
Yeah. That's where you get the boost too.
Yeah.
If you really want to do some value for value, you do it live. People love live shows. It's just a fact. They love it. They love the pew pew, which I turn off during the songs. Hello.
Alex, what, like, do you have any, do you have any strategy for that on No Agenda Tube as far as like how you're going to communicate, you know, changes with the value time split, I guess just WebSocket, or what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, we'll probably, so Steven's got a experimental tag in the Sovereign Feeds feed already. It's like a live values. I don't remember what it is exactly, but it's using the socket.io protocol. And we'll probably just get together. I've been going back and forth with him since he started. We'll probably just document that schema and implement it in the same way. So, and that would be done via a plugin. Either Don can do it in Lightning, or I'll probably make a podcasting 2.0 plugin too for some separate functionality. So,
how do you? This is a question, really, I guess for both of you. How do you figure out when you have a functionality like so? Let me try to explain this so that people understand, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong, and then I'll ask my question. The PeerTube is a core. It provides a bunch of core features, and then everything additional, like RSS feeds for podcasting 2.0, the Lightning value boosting that Don did, all those things. It's all plugins. So you write a plugin to add a new feature on top. Is that pretty straightforward? Explanation there.
Yeah. Yes and no. For the most part, without getting too technical, I had to had to upstream the RSS changes we did for the podcast RSS feeds for PeerTube, okay. because that modifies some core functionality. But what I did that in the process was I made it. I gave plugins the ability to modify the feeds and add extra features too, which is how Don's Lightning plugin is adding the value blocks.
Okay, so that's what you upstreamed is the ability for plugins to make those changes.
Yeah, along with the default podcast RSS feeds that has the medium equals gotcha. Video and the live okay. items for live streaming.
Okay, so now with so let me see if I understand. So starting with PeerTube version 5.2. The default RSS feed that you get is a better quality feed, and it's got the medium in there.
Yep, it's got the medium. It's got live item. It's got alternate enclosures, which okay. We'll probably expand upon a lot. It's also got the activity pub for CrossF comments. So it's got all the basics you need to work in a podcast application.
Oh, that's excellent. So, when you have a situation like that, like Don, when you're looking at a thing like a remote, like value time split, how do you figure out whether that's going to be a, you know, something that you put into your plugin or if there's overlap with some other plugin? Like, is it just a crapshoot or how do you figure out who puts that in?
I usually just try to implement it first myself, and then if somebody else better implements it, I move over to their implementation.
Yeah.
Like with the Lightning plugin, I put in my own RSS feed so that it would work better with podcasting 2.0. And then Alex's upstream changes came in, and I was able to just move that into there. So we can start with a plugin, and the slower process for the upstream changes eventually will subsume it.
Hey, Dave, maybe you can just explain to people who are new to this exactly what PeerTube is. Because you've been, I mean, you're knees deep in this, and I've only scoffed at it. because I love. No, I'm just not a video guy, but now I'm seeing that there's a lot of cool stuff we could do with this, not just video, obviously. You want to just explain what's going on with what the experimentation has been and where we're at, and so then you know you can plug in Don and Alex in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give my I'm knees deep in using it. They're you know Alex is knees deep in actually doing the work to get the podcasting 2.0 stuff in there, but PeerTube is open source, self-hosted video. You can spin up a PeerTube instance, high level overview here, spin up a PeerTube instance and self-host videos, for, you know, multiple users. I mean, it's basically YouTube in a box.
What do you need to self-host? What are the requirements?
I mean, just out of the box, all you need is a server. But then if you have, if you are going to do it in a sort of a better, like more efficient way, you would do it like, and Alex, you can explain this, how you have your setup. You can offload your HLS chunks to object storage and do it better like that. It's sort of like having the PeerTube software does the transcoding and the UI delivery and that sort of thing, but then the content is coming from somewhere else, sort of like the feed, sort of like serving an RSS feed comes from the hosting company, but maybe the enclosure comes from some other CDN. Okay, is that fair, Alex?
Yeah, and that's really for when you get into larger instances like Nojenda 2, where you have a lot of users and a lot of video, you need to start doing a lot of that. But if you're just doing this on your own, You just need a small, probably 2-core, 8-gigabyte RAM VM, and you're like good to go.
$12 a month,
yeah. Even for live streaming, it's where if you want to do like if you want multiple resolutions when you're live streaming, you know, 1080p, 720p, then you need a lot more horsepower. And I spin up a new VM every time a new live stream starts, so that can get costly. But you don't need that on your own. And the idea is to build the tools make it easy for people to self-host. So right now, if you want to do live streaming on PeerTube, you just spin up a PeerTube server and then install the PodPing plugin, which I have, which just does the PodPing.cloud integration. And then if you want a live chat, in the next version of live chat plugin, That will be available in the RSS feeds. And then if you want basically super chat support, value support, you would install the Lightning plugin.
All right. So is this something that I can set Mo up on? Because he's been wanting to migrate away from YouTube Live and have all the same functionality, obviously, with the boostergrams as the super chat functionality. Can he just set up an account, point StreamYard to No Agenda Tube, and what else does he need? Does he just need a Lightning address to make it all work?
Yeah, Lightning. I mean, Albie's obviously an easy route, but it works with your own node too, and Don can speak more to that. But yeah, that's all you really. It should work with anything that produces RTMP, which StreamYard does.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it would work fine.
Yeah, I've set up a guy with a live streaming system with a $50 a year VPS. It doesn't take much nowadays.
Oh, nice. And now with this, with these streams, this is one of the big things. Can you rewind? Can you go back and or start at the beginning? Can you do that kind of stuff?
Not currently. Yet. Yeah, it would break some of the way it does peer-to-peer bandwidth sharing, which honestly, if you turn on low latency, it doesn't matter anyway, which I think a lot of people are going to do. But if you have it save the VOD, then it will save it just like on YouTube, and then it's in the RSS feed as well. So,
Alex, when you're the peer, that's one part that I didn't attempt to describe is the peer, why it's called PeerTube, the peer to peer part of it. That's done through WebTorrent. Is that right?
It's a modification of WebTorrent, so it's
okay.
Well, yeah, yes. I'll just say yes because it's complicated.
Okay. I guess you don't really. How often do you get the benefit of that? I mean, in the real world,
you would only really get it if you're having. If you start getting hundreds or thousands of people, okay. At that point,
yeah,
you may or may not be interacting with the chat much anyway.
The P2P only really kicks in if there's a lot of people watching at the same time, which is mainly live. The peer-to-node is what really helps with the stored videos. So if you're watching a No Agenda Tube animated on No Agenda Tube, you're getting like 1/8 of that video data from No Agenda Tube's object storage, and the rest is coming from other PeerTube servers that are sharing that redundantly.
Cool.
Yeah, and just to explain some numbers here, when you're talking about live streaming, I think I did some numbers for Dave the other day. We were talking about Bitcoin Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. If we were to do, so a traditional 1080p stream would be like 6,000 kilobits per second. That's roughly for 1,000 users without any P2P bandwidth sharing. What did I say? That would be like $15 an hour or something like that?
$13.50, I think, is what you said.
Yeah, so the cost isn't as high as it used to be. And that's with Linode object storage costs. So it depends on...
They're a little bit higher,
So just looking at the service that is No Agenda Tube, how do you have the setup? So if someone wants to use No Agenda Tube for live, but also for recorded stuff that stays up there or live and is later retrievable through recorded, do you have put yourself in the value block immediately or by default so that you're getting some value for the service? I know you're doing it because you just love doing it, but if someone really wants to make this into a service, what do you have set up for that?
Yeah, by default, using Don's plugin, every feed on No Agenda Tube has I think it's 20% split for No Agenda Tube right now, which is probably high, but we don't really get anything anyway right now. So I'm willing to lower that too if popularity kicks off. But I'm also considering having a separate service that isn't free for everybody. So.
Yeah, that probably makes sense too, because I mean, it's that whole thing of whenever you kick off something that's free, free forever, you know, open registration, that kind of thing. It's just such.
Everybody always such wants free. They all want free. Yeah. Everyone wants free.
We disabled open registration. Was it last year? So now you have to request an account. So it's not just everybody.
That's good.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard back from I emailed Chris over at Bitcoin Amsterdam with the specs we talked about, and just I was going to get back in touch with him, but he hasn't emailed me back, so I don't know about that one yet. But I mean, as far as like at that level, and with I think he said, you know, they're expecting roughly 1,000 online streams. I mean, that's really not too bad. I mean, that's doable. I guess what I'm trying to say is that's within almost everybody's conference budget to have something of that scale.
Yeah. And if you're doing a conference, you're turning on high latency, you're doing as much bandwidth sharing as you want because you're not interacting with the chat.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And talk about that too, because you have XMPP now. In the rooms, is that still only on my room as an experiment, or is that everywhere?
That is on all of NodeGenitube live streams, but it's done through a live chat plugin through a lovely French developer. I think his name is John, and he's adding support for the RSS feeds in his next version as well. So
with the chat,
anyone who live streams will have that automatically on NodeGenitube. And
I guess we need to go ahead and finalize that then.
yeah.
Of course, using the web page works perfectly fine. What apps currently work well with the PeerTube stuff for video?
The only one that I know that works is Podverse.
Podcast Guru works too, Alex.
Okay. Yeah. The catch is it needs to support HTTP live streaming, which not many do because they don't do video. So, and then I don't even think Podverse supports the podcast chat tag yet.
Okay.
So you basically have to go to the website if you want to interact.
Yeah. I spoke to Jason over at Podcast Guru the other day, and he's totally on board with XMPP and like to put that in, and they also support video, which they fly under the radar a lot because they just came on board with the value for value, but they have video support, and they're, you know, that's a good podcast app. I want to make sure they get the credit they deserve because they're really doing a lot of stuff over there.
I'll have to check it out.
So we'll have to formalize. I'm just making a note. We need to go ahead and formalize the chat tag because it's not a complicated tag. I mean, it's basically just social interact with a couple of different attributes.
Yeah, I realize I've been telling so many people on No Agenda, like, oh, you get everything in these apps. Go ahead and but there's no chat. The only one that has chat is CurioCaster, I guess.
Well, Podverse has it too.
Podverse does chat as well?
I think it does the old version, not the new version.
What's the old version?
That was the attribute on the live item tag.
Okay, it's the one I'm using, I think.
You're using both now. He just has to. He has to do the work.
I'm bi.
You are.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was just gonna say Nathan G asked in the chat. He said, "Didn't someone mention switching to broadcasting that alongside the IceCast broadcast?" So what, let me just talk about that for a second. Cause I spoke with Jason about that the other day when, at Podcast Guru, and I was telling him, we're talking about live support for socket, you know, the whole socket thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, we've discussed embedding that stuff into the IceCast stream or whatever HLS or whatever, trying to do this stuff in stream instead of out of band. Ooh. And his response to me was that at least on the Android side, and I'm assuming this is probably true on the iOS side as well, that extracting arbitrary data out of a media stream is very difficult. He said he's done it once in the past, and what he had to do was create basically a local host on-device, a local host proxy.
And so
that he gets first, so that he gets first dibs to parse the stream and extract the data. And then pass it, and then re-host it essentially to the local, to the app. He said it's just a complete mess. So.
Do I keep forgetting PodFans in all the stuff we're talking about? I think I have the feeling that PodFans has everything working.
Probably so. So Sam submitted a PR this morning, and it's literally every tag.
That guy is so amazing, and he defends value for value like a warrior. I really love Sam for that.
Me too. The only thing we need for PodFans, and I think they're really dependent on this, and we probably need to talk about it, is the authorization tag.
Yeah, so for onboarding. Their
fee. Yeah, and I'm trying to get that done. I was in the chat, in the discussion thread this morning on it, trying to get that. I've been distracted by some other stuff.
Is that the GitHub thread that I stay away from?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is, yes.
Yeah. It's dangerous for my health. I missed the email addresses. It was so easy. Just want to say, that's all. I'll shut up about it. I missed it. I didn't need enhanced privacy. I was fine.
I've got to basically write something up that's more formal for this. Here's the way this works. Just to run through it again, because there seems to be this misunderstanding. I don't want to call it a misunderstanding. Maybe I'm misunderstanding. So I'm just going to throw this out there. There seems to be this thing that comes back that this flow can be intercepted. And so just for the record, here's what we have so far. There is an authorization tag that would happen in the feed. So I'm going to, in this scenario that I am about to lay out, we're going to say that the hosting company is RSS Blue and the app is PodFans. So RSS Blue publishes a feed. And the owner, the podcaster who owns that feed, is going to claim that feed on PodFans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an authorization tag that RSS Blue has put into that feed with a URL pointing back to the location on the web that they are going to do the verification at. So this thing may be verification.rssblue.com. The PodFans sees that URL. When the podcaster says, I'm gonna verify this, that I'm the owner of this feed, PodFans kicks, PodFans server creates a nonce, a one-time code, attaches it to that URL as a query parameter, and redirects the podcaster to that page at RSS Blue. RSS Blue receives, parses out that query parameter, and also the feed URL needs to be attached to that as well. So there would be another parameter on there with the feed URL or GUID or whatever. So now RSS Blue knows, okay, I've got a token. And I've got a random token, and I've got the feed URL. I verify the feed URL is one of our feeds. Yes, that is. It is. And now I'm going to force the user to log in with a username and password. They authenticate with their username and password, proving to RSS Blue that they are the one who is the owner of the feed. RSS Blue sees that and pops up sees that there was a successful login, pops up a thing that says, hey, PodFans is trying to, wants to authenticate you as the owner of this feed. Do you want to do this? Yes or no? Hit yes. RSS Blue now takes the token that PodFans sent to it in the query parameter, places that into the feed, into the podcast TXT record, invalidates the cache and republishes the feed with the token in it. And kicks them back to PodFans.
Mm.
And then PodFans begins to, PodFans sees that they've come back with a success message, poll and starts polling the feed. And once they see their token pop up in the feed, they say, okay, verification successful. This is the same essential process that happens with DNS verification for domain ownership. We do this all the time. When you go and create and claim ownership of a domain, let's just going to say you're migrating your business to Office 365, you're going to go through this exact same process. Sometimes it's manual. Other times they have an integration with DNS registrars, and you can automate this. But this is essentially the same function. So I'm not sure. I can't see any danger here. I guess my question is, am I missing something? Because the this can get hacked thing seems to be coming back, and I'm like, where's the hack happening?
Someone said it could be hacked.
Well, Mike Caden at Red Circle said it could be, and I thought James was saying that too. But maybe I'm misunderstanding. I don't now. Now, could it be fished? For sure. Everything can be fished.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, unless you have two-factor authentication. I mean, like, you can, if you have a man in the middle scenario, you can get fished all day long. But I'm not. But we've got to set that aside, because that's not, we're not solving that here. I'm talking about, like, could, I don't understand if there's something I'm missing, and please somebody tell me if there is.
All I'm hearing is some people saying, why don't you just do OAuth, which I have no idea which is easier.
See, OAuth is, if people want to do OAuth, that's fine, but we don't need to write a spec for that. Right. If people want to do OAuth, if let's just say if, RSS.com wants to do OAuth. They can just go do that, and then they can just say, here's how we're going to, they can publish that themselves and say, here's how we're going to do it. If you want to verify here, you can do it, and maybe other hosts adopt that same format. Yeah. I don't know. But that OAuth is an established mechanism already.
Right.
My problem with OAuth is really just that it leaves small hosting out of the picture, because you have to be able to host, right, in order to support an OAuth verification mechanism. You have to be able to support an OAuth flow, and you can't do that if you're using sovereign feeds or WordPress. You know, that's not available to you.
Right. I can just put it into the appropriate field, and I can put the token into the appropriate field in my feed, and it would work too. Right.
Right. And with the authorization flow that I described earlier, what can happen is you can say, all right, there's an author. PodFans could make this decision. PodFans could do this. It could say, I see an authorization tag in your feed, therefore, I'm going to kick you over to verify at the hosting company.
Right.
Or I don't see an authorization tag in the feed, therefore, I'm just going to give you the token, and you can go put it in yourself. Like, it doesn't change their flow very much. They can support both very easily. See, and Nathan said, I think they were concerned that PodFans would permit the podcaster to claim the feed just by visiting the URL, redirecting back to PodFans without waiting for the token to appear in the TXT tag. Yeah, but that's bad. They don't need to do that.
Right.
Just getting a success message doesn't, that's only half the flow. You can't skip
right
the authorization part. Yeah.
All right. Let's just touch on a few other things.
Now that everybody's asleep. Sorry.
Let me just touch on a few other things. Loving transcribe.fm, who set that up again?
Nathan Gatherite. Yeah.
Hurting a little bit because of the speaker support issues. Because man, I don't want to screw up Martin's pod friend the way he's implemented, you know, the person tag in in the transcripts. And so almost no matter what I run, it confuses me with, you know, multiple speakers. apparently it's a lot more challenging to identify speakers consistently than I thought. Because I really love the speed of the service is outrageous. I mean, I'm waiting sometimes for an hour for a no agenda transcript to finish. And then, you know, and with transcribe.fm, it's like, it just is done so fast, but, you know, I've been trying to find a predictability in it, but it's just not there yet. Is that an AI issue we need to look at?
Is the speaker recognition, is that just slow it down? Is that why they don't do it?
I don't know. I'll tell you what, otter.ai, they transcribe and then you have to wait after the transcription's done. You have to wait for it to do it does the speaker stuff later.
So that must be a speed thing. It must be hard.
Yeah. I mean, it slows it down, but I mean, it's not accurate. That's the problem. It's just not accurate.
Alex, what do you think about, do you think it's possible to do transcription, like a transcription plugin in PeerTube?
I think there already is one. I just don't know how
good it is. Yeah, there is one. Someone told me it was slow. I tested it. It did not work well on podcasts longer than like 10, 20 minutes, and the results were really inaccurate. But they're working on it, and it should be coming along better, hopefully.
What Don, do you know, like, was that running on server, or was that calling out to somewhere else?
That was running on server. It downloaded everything it needed and ran it directly on the server. That was part of why it was having trouble.
Yeah, I guess you're on CPUs at that point. That sounds messy. Because that would be really, not to do real time, but just to be able to have that in the feed after the fact, that'd be pretty killer. I could envision a plugin where you have the ability to call out to different services. Like you could call out to transcribe.fm or you could call out to Otter or whatever service you wanted to use, you know?
Hey, that's where the podcaster plugin comes in. From what I understand, Sovereign Feeds will have a way to just, you know, it'll just work. it'll talk to transcribe.fm and it'll pop it back and then it's just kind of there.
Yeah, that's a rad idea.
Yeah, I really don't want to do away with the speaker tags because that's so cool in PodFriend. I think other people will do that. It looks so good. The little, you know, little chat bubbles with our heads.
Yeah.
It's really a fun experience. Just look at like, wow, I can hear these guys speaking. I can see their heads. It's something hypnotizing about it.
Yeah, and the person tag, I talked to Oscar about that the other day. That needs to be in there as well. That needs to be a more broadly supported tag, on the app side. Cause still, I don't see very many apps showing that information. And Martin uses it to great effect with the transcription and putting it right there prominently on the podcast page. I mean, that's a pretty killer little, tag to just ignore. I wish more people would suck that in.
That's what she said. Hey, I have two more things on my list here. Okay. One is just because, you know, I do the triage on info.podcastindex.org. I have been enjoying the API dashboard. Thank you very much. I
fixed a couple of things in there too, by the way.
Yeah, I tried to reset someone's feed and it didn't really do anything, or maybe there's no real way for me to know if a reset is done properly. And I don't know. People do show up and they just throw stuff out. They're like, this, that, you know, it's not right, wrong. You know, it's like, oh man, really, do you think I'm a mind reader? So I'm not always sure that I'm doing the right thing for people, but I have, you know, nuked a feed or two, and I think James had something that I just blindly trusted him. Like, okay, I'm nuking that feed because you said so.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. Keeping this one, but I love it. I love other than just some feedback stuff. Yeah, I'm not quite sure if everything's working properly, but I'm happy to have it. Some dude named Josh showed up, and I just wanted to read his note. He says, "Thanks for this awesome project. I'm attempting to create a neural network-based ad blocker for podcasts. Your database is an invaluable source as I annotate training data." I'm like, wow, yikes. That's interesting. I don't know if I'm a fan of that, but I guess you could use it for that. Well, you know, why would you want to block podcast ads? Just as a philosophical thing.
You can just hit the skip button a couple of times.
That's what everybody does. We all know it. Everybody does it.
You just skate right through those jokers.
Yeah. And I wanted to mention that I heard something very, well, not concerning. I think it's the dumbest business decision I've ever heard. Spotify, since they're scrambling for revenue, clearly. Spotify premium members can no longer pay via Apple's App Store because they don't want to give up the 30% cut, the App Store tax. So people's premium subscriptions will just expire, and they're hoping everybody will sign up again through their own system at Spotify.com with a credit card or PayPal. I'm thinking, you're going to be very sorry you're doing this. I don't think a lot of people are going to do that. It'll be such an opportunity to not re-up. Is that just me?
Man, I don't know. There has to be this stuff like this has to happen. There has to be market movement away from Apple, the Apple walled garden of 30%. Mm. That tax. I mean, there has to be. I mean, because my understanding was they were charging. So it's like $9 a month if you went and subscribed directly on their site, but it was like $12 a month if you subscribed with Apple Pay because of the tax.
Right. Same thing that Twitter did, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is another mess. People are the things are changing very quickly around us. All these models of payments, they're all breaking.
They are. I don't know if you saw this. This was very interesting to me. Perhaps the most interesting thing that flew under the radar. Have you heard of a company called Media Math?
No, I have not.
Media Math filed for bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. Demand side platform Media Math filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in Delaware on Friday. The company owes between $100 million and $500 million to between 200 and 999 companies, including Google, Magnite, OpenX, PubMatic, Xandr, and AdsWiz. And I know AdsWiz is a big company, like digital marketing company that does podcast stuff.
What does Media Math do?
It says they're a demand side platform. I think that means that they're one of the digital ad bidder, like DSP platforms where the bidding takes place for digital, like service, like where there's like this dynamic auction system at ad serve time.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, it says their valuation, let's see, they had raised like $600 million or something. And then now but they went out of business and they still owe like hundreds of millions of dollars to companies. They just vanished.
So they owe it to all the ad companies who were serving ads that they basically were booking and scheduling for the advertisers?
That's right. It says the bankruptcy will have a wide-ranging effect on the advertising technology industry, with many well-known companies being owed more than $1 million. Oh. The top five include Magnite at $12.6 million, PubMatic at $10 million, Sinobi at $5
million. I've never even heard of these companies. Are these the companies that are just snooping on me and throwing ads up everywhere?
Yeah, and AdsWiz at $3.4 million.
Yeah, wow.
This feels like the whole ad serving DSP digital yuck. It's like about to blow up.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
No, I mean, it's hilarious.
Wow. This whole thing is falling apart, man.
Yeah. Nathan says a programmatic ad bidding platform. SiriusXM owns AdWiz, and Media Math owes them $3.5 million.
Oh, yay.
This thing is about to blow up.
Yeah, that's not good. What's this clip you got here, Dave? You put
This is the new FTC influencers guidelines. This is like they released this a few days ago. They're cracking down on social media influencers that on how they have to disclose their sponsorships and advertising.
I thought you already had to do that. I thought that was like a prerequisite that you had to let people know.
They did, but the guidelines were vague. So now they've like beefed them up and given them some juice. If you want to, you want to listen to this nice young lady explain it to us.
Yeah, of course.
Hi, I'm Amber Lee, an attorney at the Federal Trade Commission.
If this was my attorney, I'd fire her for that voice. you can't represent me. You don't sound like a bulldog.
Hi, I'm Amber Lee, an attorney at the Federal Trade Commission. Do you recommend or endorse things on social media? If you do, here are some tips to help influencers like you comply with the law. Whenever you endorse a product, you have to tell people if you have a relationship with the brand. So, if a brand pays you or gives you free stuff or discounts, tell people about that relationship when you promote anything from that brand. Make sure people will see and understand that disclosure. Tell people about your brand relationship along with your endorsement. Not in your profile, not in a bunch of hashtags. Put it early in the message or superimposed prominently on the picture. In a live stream, it should be repeated often enough that people will catch it. Make it plain and simple. You can say your post is an ad, advertisement, or sponsored with or without a hashtag. You can say thank you to the brand for the free product, if a product is all you got. Or you could label yourself a partner or ambassador. Again, make sure to put your disclosure where people can't miss it. Want to know more about how you can be an influencer and stay on the right side of the law? Go to ftc.gov/influencers.
Wow. So if you're an advisor to a company, you need to disclose that too, I guess.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of, they have this like, what do you call it? Like a FAQ that tells you, here's what you need to do under certain circumstances. It's like a, can I do this? No. Can I do this? Here's what you got to do. So this was, let's see, this guy ran it down. He says, adding hashtag or hashtag ad or hashtag sponsor or similar disclosure in the caption of a TikTok is not enough. It needs to be overlaid in the video itself. De-influencing campaigns require disclosure. So you can't talk down a competitor.
Oh, wow.
Without disclosure. A post does not have to mention anything positive about the brand to be considered an endorsement. So this is like a, it says, simply posting a picture of a product on social media, such as Pinterest, or a video of you using it, could convey, even without words, that you like or approve the product and has to be disclosed. Foreign creators must also comply with the rules. If you review many different products on your blog or social page, you need to specifically disclose which content is sponsored and which content is not. You cannot hide disclosures behind links, even if the link says disclosure. Thank you or thank you brand is not enough. You must make it more prominent. Like there's just a whole bunch of these, like they're really cracking down on it and making you and forcing you to make it like up front and center that you're doing that this is sponsored content. But the part that I love is that this all leaves a gaping, humongous loophole for traditional media, because all you have to do is, in order to get around that, is right before you do a big ad buy, you just have a little bit of phone. You just jump on the phone with somebody and say, Hey, we're going to do that ad buy, but, why don't you talk us up a little bit, you could have essentially a native ad that was never contracted in print or signed on the dotted line.
I'm looking at what they're saying. I'm looking at their rules, ftc.gov/influencer. Even if it's a family relationship, you've got to disclose it. I mean, so even if you just have a phone call, you kind of got to disclose that.
Really?
Yeah. And do you know how big this market is? I was reading, I have it here, from McKinsey. I guess McKinsey would know something. Ads for apparel, so clothing, are part of an ever-growing body of sponsored content that people consume daily alongside regular video and social media posts. And they are part of an influencer marketing economy that hit $16.4 billion this year.
Whoa, that's so much bigger than I thought it was.
Me too.
I mean, the entire music industry is, what, $5
billion? Well, we're chipping it away at it.
True.
It's $4,900,000,000.
That's kind of shocking.
And that have to come after podcasts pretty soon too. I mean, they're only talking about social media, but this, it's got to be the same. You have to have the same rules for podcasting, I'd presume.
Yeah, the word podcasting did not appear in any of the new guidelines.
No, of course not. Idiots. There's your loophole. I'm doing a podcast.
Well, there's your incentive for other services to call themselves podcasts, like YouTube.
There you TikTok. Go.
Call yourself a podcast. You're not a social media influencer. You're a podcaster.
Oh man, yeah. So I need to ask. What is this this peer tube? Is that a podcast? Because Todd Cochran wants to know.
I mean, technically, it's not an audio file in the enclosure.
Yeah.
It's just a text file.
It's a text file. Oh man, I love those guys arguing. It's so funny.
That's why the Medium tag was invented. Like, I see people who have things that they call podcasts on YouTube, and they're not RSS. Maybe they have, they're not really RSS feeds, but the Medium is the podcast, and then that's kind of where the whole idea started, which is why we're here today.
I love that. Go Medium tag.
It's critically important to go where we need to go.
I'm with you, brother. Let's thank some people because we got getting a lot of boosts coming in during this lit version of the show, and I want to thank people appropriately. Sure. We have A White Mike is what he's called.
Okay.
A White Mike boosts two boostograms of 3333. I guess he's coming up with names for the show. True Audio Party. Tap into the party. True Audio Party with redundant word party. But what did from pin number? Apps all involving tapping in apps. I'm going to work on it. And actually, I wanted something like the boost bin or the boost box. I was thinking along those lines. Of course, none of those domain names are available, so it kind of precludes it. We've got R. Davis 87 with 10,101. He says, music side project, top 40 Friday night, 8 Eastern, noagendastream.com. Go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
Is that the new name?
Yeah, it's a great one. I vote that.
Dave Jones with 10,000 sats went to the Heads Up track. He actually said killer track, so hopefully... The Ride in Progress band will receive that. We've got Tom Tomsky, 777, Mini Striper Boost, Split and Music Test. Go make music. There's Stephen B with 3333 doing that from the Split Kit. Heads up, it's a live music boost in the Split Kit. Nice promotion. Cotton Gin posting 3333 for Riot in Progress. Let's see, Harv Hat 3333, no note, another 3333 from Cotton Gin, 5,000 from Stephen B, posting for the song during the Split Kit for Heads Up. Eric PP, 33,333, very nice. Yael Oss, we're using both Music Side Project and Wavelake side by side, makes it weird in podcasting apps, two feeds in Castomatic and others, but this far MSP has proven more popular. Yep. Well, that's interesting. Cool.
Yeah,
I like that. Booberry with 11,111 and was able to conform the split kit works with at least this many song and life chapter blocks. He's got a link there. I think the final count was 21. That included an intermission block with custom durations for our mixes. Live GIF art changed seamlessly. It was beautiful, Stephen B. Yeah, this split kit, man.
Holy crap.
Yeah, there's something too. Let me see what this link looks like with this... Hold on a second. Here we go. Let me see. You're going to show me the split kit value block? Because you can, when you do it. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's hilarious. Hold on. I got to put that in the chat room. That's hilarious. Look at this. look at this list. That is very cool. So this must have been, that must have been all songs then, I guess. Let me see. Yeah, I think that's songs. I
mean, holy crap. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Stuff's working, man. I love that. We go to Tone Wrecker. 1333 Boostagram 2-year anniversary of July 7 is wild. Thank you to everyone putting in the work and making the effort to make such progress. Of course, we love everybody who's been doing that. We got Cole McCormick with 5492. What up, Live Boost? Cotton Gin with 3333. ITBR, thanks for the pod ping help earlier. I don't know if you did that. You might have. We've got Dreb Scott boosting in the split kit, 22,222. Very nice official rose up. Super cool. R. Davis 87 again, boosting podcasting 2.0 for the tour of sausage making factory. I love the inside baseball field. Go podcasting episode boost. Yes, indeed.
Go podcasting!
Stephen B. with the split kit, which is a boost for you, Dave. It says boost for Dave. I think it went to your node. Somehow.
What is it?
I don't know. It just says Dave Jones. So maybe he just put you in there. I don't know what he's using, but your wallet received something, I'm sure. Okay. Boob donation.
Thank you.
8008 from I Am Mr. Robot. Just noticed the animated logo in Fountain Live for this episode. Definitely is the first one I've seen. Would love to see it implemented more. 5x5 in the GIF. Yeah, that's our beautiful lit art, which is indeed animated and works. We love it.
Courtesy of Booberry.
Then we have Anonymous, who just before we started the show decided to come in and do a massive baller duck boost, 222,222, boosting for When This Is Over by Allie Mitchell. So not entirely to us, but baller, we will definitely give you a baller for that one. 20-inch
blaze on the Impala.
Beautiful. Dreb Scott with 1,000 sats and a second Dreb Scott with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 boosting for the boost boost. Go podcasting.
Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Very much appreciated. And that does it for our live boost, except for the one that might have just come in. Oh, there it is. Boy. Of course. Darren O'Neill, 110,416 Satoshis. Hey, you need a shouty voice rhyming sidekick for that new music show?
Yeah. Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
We need a name first, Darren. That's what we need. Get us a name. That's what we got to start with.
And some artwork
and some jingles. And yeah, we got a lot to do.
Yeah.
But I'm pumped. I'm getting ready. I'm very excited about it. Very excited about it.
We got one baller PayPal.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we did. From the boys at RSS.com, Ben and Alberto and the gang, $555.
Woo! Dude, thank you so much, RSS.com, man. Keeping us going. Appreciate that so much.
This is a location. Thank you, Adam, Dave, and all other contributors to the location tag. From your friends at RSS.com. They released 4 tags supported now. I think it's a better look this up. Location, license, episode, and season. So they got, they're coming on. They're rolling them out.
Nice. Stephen B. just sent a suggestion for a name, which I'm going to first see if it's available before I mention it.
Hold on. He sent it in boost form.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if it's available. What do you think of Boost Bangers Ball?
I like it. I like Boost Bangers Ball. That's a good one.
Boost Bangers Ball might be cute. We could also do Boosters Ball, but Boost Bangers Ball kind of fits with me a little bit. I don't want people to think it's only one type of music.
True.
But Boost Bangers. Well, I've registered it just in case. You never know. It's on the list, Steven. Thank you very much. Good one. Good idea.
Let's see here. Okay, we got some boostergrams. Thank you, Ben and Alberta. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you,
dude. We got some boostergrams. 3333 from Harv Hat times 2. No note. Thank you, Harv Hat. There's Booberry. Booberry said, he sent his animated GIF to me.
Nice.
Sorry I couldn't get this in before the show. Oh, no problem. I've I was gonna send him his 100K sat bounty and ran out of liquidity.
Oh no! On your node,
the podcast index channel. So I had to. I didn't have enough liquidity to send the whole thing. So I had to open a new channel. But as soon as that opens, I'll send it this afternoon. Joel W. Satchel or Richards. 1111. No note. Thank you, Joel W. Frozier. 25,000 sats. And he says, thank you.
Nice.
Boost.
Thank you.
Roa Ducks from Anonymous. Thank you. No note on that. 2222 from UPS Chris. Oh, this is a UPS guy, right?
Yeah, UPS Chris. Oh, yeah. He gives us all the inside dirt on the strike, on the pending strike. Says, which, by the way, if UPS goes on strike, this is going to be a problem in America.
Yeah, America is going to cease to exist.
It will be a problem.
UPS Chris sent 2222 and he says, thank you, Adam, for constantly telling the truth.
My pleasure.
Let's see. D's Laughs sent us 777. He says, I love these meetings. You two are doing the Lord's work. Well, thank you, D's Laughs. Xoresme.
Xoresme. I don't know.
10,000 sats. No. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zoresme. Chris from Jupiter Broadcasting. Chris Fisher, he sent us a monster satchel, a huge satchel of Richards. It has to be huge to fit his satchel of Richards. 111111
to
fountain.
Very nice.
Boost.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Boosting for that road duo talk. I'm also keeping my eye on it near tax time.
Yeah, I set up my whole duplicate system. I got everything. Everything is now in duplicate. But you know, the Duo was $4.99. All the other stuff, my MIDI keyboard, I got another mouse. I got another mouse pad. I got a regular, wireless keyboard. Of course, I hook it all into the into the Surface, which I take on the road, which I also updated. It's always fun when you open up a Windows machine 3 months since the last time you used it. And it takes about 3 hours to update itself and all that crap that goes on. It's the worst thing ever. And that costs like $150 to do all that. So my whole road kit is good to go. And maybe I'll test it next week. Just use the whole duplicate system. That Duocaster is some sweet, sweet joy, man. I'll tell you.
I'm going to have to get it.
It's a beautiful box. And I'll give if you want my settings, I'm happy to send them to you.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to have to get it because I think I'm going to start a new podcast at some point.
Oh, are we breaking up? Are you cheating on me?
No, this is an open relationship.
I don't know if I'm poly. I'm not so sure. I'm poly podcaster.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the lifestyle?
No, I don't think so.
No, this is not it. This is not that kind of podcast. This is a solo operation here.
Oh, what are you going to do? Do you want to lift a little tip of the veil?
Oh, it's nothing big. It's just something to, I read tons of books. Like I just finished The Technological Society by Jacques Ellul. Great book.
Yeah, it's
fantastic book.
Big book.
And as I'm reading these books, I highlight a lot. I mark up a lot. And I'm like, this. So take a book like The Technological Society. Very dense, very thick book.
Yeah.
It's a lot to ask somebody. There's so much information in there that's valuable, but it's spread out through the whole book. In little nuggets, you don't necessarily want to ask somebody to read 500 pages of a book in order to get a dozen good little chunks out of it. And so I thought, why don't I just have like a little thing where when I hit one of those chunks, just record it and throw it in a podcast. No discussions, no book reviews, none of that. Just
blurbs. I like that. Yeah, that's kind of what you do on Signal. Yeah. You send me little blurbs from some of your books.
Yeah, and then like I could throw it in. Like it's a way to get through and hit all the hot, like the Cliff Notes version of a book in episode form over a few weeks.
I'd listen to that. I'd subscribe for sure. Count me in. Okay. Count me in.
Well, I need a Roadcaster duo.
Oh yes, yes. Then count me in.
Okay, Brian Insminger, 500 sets. That's a fun song. Boosting. Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
B. Mozzie, Brian Mozzie, gets, through Fountain, sent us 3333, says, go podcasting.
Yeah, yeah.
Go podcasting! Your uncle, Uncle Laurent, sent a Satchel of Richards, go podcasting.
Go podcasting! There you go. I'll do it.
Rima King. I don't know these names. Remaking. Oh, here it is. Remaking Eden.
Oh,
or yeah. Remaking Eden. So 5,000 sats. No note. That one made my eyes cross. Gene Bean, 4096, a 4K killer boost. Sent, he said, the new XMPP enabled boost bot that also posts activity pubs sounds really nice. And he sent another 4,096. Thank you, Gene Bean. Alex, what exactly have you done? What did you do with the boost bot as you hooked it into the room on or the channel on No Agenda Tube?
Well, that's kind of the beautiful thing about XMPP and ActivityPub, for that matter, is you don't really hook it into the room so much as you have an account that you connect to your XMPP server, and it will post to whatever room is in the feed. So whenever a boost comes in, it listens to LND. It finds the XMPP room in the chat tag, and it posts to that room. So that's all it is.
So you just cool. you took the boost bot code and just and added that mm-hmm. in there.
And the benefit of that versus IRC is you don't need an account on every IRC server. You just have one account.
Nice. Okay. So, and that's Ibn's code?
Yep.
In Python?
I don't think it's running in his yet, so I'll have to help him with that.
Okay.
So I run it myself.
Oh, killer. Awesome. We got Gene Bean again with 10,000 sasses boosting the tunes and podcasting 2.0 from Podverse while flying home from vacation.
Ooh, nice. Beautiful.
Boost!
5,000 sats from Nick. It says, good tune. One of the better V4V tracks. See, 3333 from I Love Sushi says, test boost from Podverse. We got you. I Love Sushi. Bill Prague. I think Bill's a Hive guy. 5,000 sats through Fountain. He says, not sure about the using apps thing. Seen some apps kicked out from the store because of crypto tipping option. Could be important to have a good browser alternative.
Well, we've thought of that, and we're just crossing our fingers and our legs.
Yeah, that's right. Anonymous 10,000 sats. He says coupon codes are bullshit. All right. Uh-huh. Okay. Bad career advice. Chad Satchel Richards through Fountain. He says boosting for the protection of listeners from the homeliness of their favorite podcasters.
Okay. Boost.
Chimp 13579 through Podverse. He says boosting from Podverse. Did it go through? Did it go to the time value split?
Boost.
It did. Yes. Sir Twin Screw 1893 through Fountain. No note. Captain Egghead 2222 through Podverse. No note. Kyron 1000 sats. He says testing in front of a BTC meetup. Oh, nice.
Very cool.
That was on episode 136. Good one, Kyron. Oh, wow. Mere Mortals podcast. Kyron, 222222.
Woo! There you go. 3-1. Nice.
Through Fountain, he says, I truly believe that value for value will change the world. Digital content creators of all sorts, music, podcasts, art, written word, and their audience are going to learn why this is important. It's a win-win for both sides. Both feel better after the value exchange. I did a V4V presentation at a Bitcoin meetup last night, and the excitement is palpable. When combined with programmable money, it is so killer. I cover the philosophy of this all in the Value for Value podcast. Season 3 is now lit. Oh, that's right. He's doing live now.
Yes. You know, I'm sure you heard about it, but it was kind of interesting to see Larry Fink, douchebag Fink, ESG Fink, of BlackRock on, what was that, the 5th of July. So it was right after 4th of July, obviously. On Fox Business, he was interviewed for about 15 minutes, and he was just he was singing Bitcoin's praises.
The ETF thing, I think, is is a much, it's a big deal.
Well,
it's actually a big deal.
I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad or whatever, but I'm assuming I have, I think I,
well, actually, let me tell you, but see, I don't know if you remember this. Of, well, that's a stupid thing to say. Of course you do. You remember all this stuff. The, and I'm serious about that because you remember, you have a clip memory that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you remember about a year and a half ago on this show, you played a clip from Larry Fink talking about Bitcoin? And your comment at the time was that you thought that these dudes like him were in the background building their own reservoir.
I think it was this one.
Bitcoin is still a very small market, and it can move in very large increments with small movements of money. And so it's not a market for the calm. I understand the enthusiasm.
Is this the one you were talking about?
Maybe.
Around it. This asset category is so small relative to other asset categories, and the preponderance that is being discussed on Bloomberg and other sources of media tells you that, you know, people are fascinated about it. So I would say business media believes it's going to have a huge future. But let's, you know, bring it down to the investor side. Everyone is focusing on it. It could be another store of wealth. But right now, it's still untested. It has huge volatility of moving in 5 and 6% increments with small dollars investments moving it. And so for anything like that to be truly successful, it's going to have a broadening of the market. And you could invest large sums of money without moving the value to the extent it's doing it. So we're watching it. We're enjoying the conversation. It is my instinct. It may some form of a digitized currency is going to play a bigger role in the future. And it may be a Bitcoin or maybe something else that has developed. But there is a fascination, and that fascination is really fun to watch.
So that was June 24th, 2021. I have 45 seconds of him from this earlier this week.
And also, I do believe the role of crypto is, it's digitizing gold in many ways. Instead of investing in gold as a hedge against inflation, a hedge against the onerous problems of any one country or the devaluation of your currency, whatever country you're in, let's be clear, Bitcoin is an international asset. It's not based on any one currency. And so it can represent an asset that people can play as an alternative. I would call the foundation of BlackRock is about hope. You invest for retirement because you believe tomorrow is better than today.
I don't know what that last bit means, but whatever, he did say an international asset and gold.
And that earlier thing, it's clear, you know, he said it could be a store of value. We need a broadening of the market.
That's what the ETF does.
That's the ETF.
That's the ETF. Yeah. Well, at least it's recognized as something real. Yeah. We see it as real value.
Borlaug 10,001 sats through Podverse. No note. Thank you, Borlaug. And we got the Delimiter. Comic strip blogger 33015 through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Are you seeking intelligent, provocative conversation on the topics shaping our world? Dive into the Unrelenting Podcast, your weekly enlightenment with hosts Gene from Texas and Darren from Chicago area. From politics to technology and societal issues, they fearlessly tackle it all, delivering sharp insights and engaging debates. Find it at www.unrelenting.show. Yo, CSB.
Boost, boost, boost.
CSB, man, is so nice. He's promoting all these other podcasts. I think that's very commendable. Very nice of him.
Let's see. Did you get Dreb Scott's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
I did. There's a few more that came in just now. Stephen B. says, Boost Banger's ball is Cotton Gin's suggestion, credit due. And then TJ the Raffle, 70,000 sats. Thank you very much, TJ.
Boost!
Exciting music talk today. I want to help even more, but as a recovering musician and struggling just to survive, I'll boost when I can. Everyone supporting and working on P2.0 V4V music, thank you. See, people are excited.
I don't know what... this is Boris Kozelski. He sent this note and says, you really want to go the Kim.com path.
Kim.com path. Oh, is that about influencer stuff? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure what he's talking about. That was, he sent 10,000 sats, but I don't know.
Sure,
I don't know
what he means by that. Got a 1,000 sats from R. Davis 87. Book talk weekly with Dave Jones Dynamite. There's your name. Book talk weekly.
Book blurb, not talk.
Book blurb. Not,
book blurb.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
We got any some monthlies. Yeah, we got a few of those. Let me run down. Let's see. We got Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. He's been with us for a long time. Scott Jalbert, $12. Chad Faro, thank you, Chad. $20.22. Mark Graham, $1. New Media, that's Martin Lindeskog, $1. Thank you, Martin. Joseph Maraca, $5. Jeremy New, $5. And Emilio Cano Molina, $4.
Thank you all very much. This is a value for value product. The entire project is value for value. If you're ever wondering if this stuff works, just sit here and listen to the Boostagram and the donation segment. It does. People like to support things that they're a part of. They like to be a part of the community, and you can be. They are with Boostagrams, with Fiat Fund coupons as well. We've got the chat room. We've got, you know, the podcast index.social. This started from zero 3 years ago. Has it been 3 years, Dave? Is it 3 years now? I think we're almost three years, aren't we?
In August.
Okay, so three years in August. And it's not because of Adam Curry and Dave Jones are such huge brand names.
Yeah, yeah. The Dave Jones brand was epic before that. Yes.
So, you know, it's because we pushed and we pushed and we asked and we said, here's the value, return it to us. And people do in many ways. But the three main ones are time, talent, and treasure. Go to podcastindex.org. Now, at the bottom, you can find two ways to send in your donations. Or what we always really like you to see you do is get one of those podcast apps. Ditch the legacy ones. Go to podcastapps.com. Thank you, Marcus, for getting us that domain name. It really does work. People love using it. I hear it more and more. And get a modern podcast app that includes the opportunity for you to stream value for value sats as well as Boost. And thank you all for supporting Podcasting 2.0. Okay. I just love Don. Don is cooking, I think. I just hear pots and pans rattling and, you know.
That was me. That was me.
Oh, they're muted.
Yeah, Don was muted. I put my clipboard on this radiator.
Okay.
And
okay.
I was making radiator noises. Don may be cooking on his servers, though.
It could be.
He's in the server room literally while we're podcasting.
So to make up for feeling bad, Alex, why don't I play, after we end the show, why don't I play your buddy there, the official detox music guy? Because I got it lined up. I got it in the split kit. Might as well, right?
Yeah. Shout out to James. Man.
Okay, because he's going to go and talk to the SoundCloud people. So
we'll see. We'll try.
He's going to change SoundCloud's mind, I'm sure. Anybody else? Any other things we got to do before we get out? Uh-oh, stop. What is this?
What is this?
No, this is not. I can't believe this. This is, I mean, I've seen some Richards in my day.
How many Richards is it?
We just got five Richards plus three, eight in total from Stephen B.
Wait, what?
1,000,000.
No.
111,111 sats, a massive satchel of Richards. Holy moly. He says, enjoy your summertime pizza party from everyone who used CurioCaster. The LM Pay wallets are now officially closed out.
Damn, Steven.
Whoa.
he came in swinging his Richards all over the place.
I mean, slap my Richards in my face, man. That was beautiful. Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you so much, brother. Oh, there you go. What else do we need to say about the value for value model?
So that's a closeout on LN, on his LNP.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Cause that, yeah, we'll, I guess we'll talk about that next week. Cause we're going to start trying to phase down the LNP. Yep. Yeah. Cause it is costing us almost $500 a month. So that's expensive. So and there's not much usage going on. I looked this morning and the usage was like, The last sats that came in were from like June.
Okay. We're pretty close. Well, thank you, Stephen B, and everyone else who boosted and streamed sats. You also gave that to, you know, that value to Don and to Alex, who are both in the block, in the live block for today as well, and they'll go into the block for. Nice. For the episode. So that's very much appreciated. Thank you so much. Thank you, chat room. Y'all have been very kind to us today. Don, Alex, thank you very much for being here with us. And thank you so much for all the work you're doing, especially on the plug-in and No Agenda Tube. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just doing it because I want to make the ecosystem better. So,
yeah,
so, we know that. Making the world better and protecting free speech.
Ah, they're so humble. I love these guys. Brother Dave, thank you, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for keeping me on the straight and narrow. You're right. We're just going to, the only shim we're going to use is in the title today. Shim theory. Shim theory. Yeah. Shim theory. All right, everybody. Coming up right after we're done, we'll bring you official detox music when I can be. Make sure you boost. And we'll see you next week here on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
It's bigger than I thought it was.
Me too.
I can be your rock.
I can be over.